the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Rant and Wrestling, episode 70. Oh, I almost said 72. 74. 74. We got this. We got 74 episodes of Rant and Wrestling. I am Fruity KD. I am still your World Tag Team Champion. Along the side on my right of the Skype box here, we have the Twinner World Champion. Been a champion since the first episode. This is day one. Yes, no. I need to stop joking. It is Doomsday. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here's to a very, very short episode.
Yes. We do not have Rob here today. Mofo Magic still has not made his epic return, but I did find somebody. On the last minute, he had nothing else better to do but to join us here for Rant and Wrestling. He's going to have the outside. This is really good. Damn winter.
Hey there, everyone. I'm elated to be back. I haven't thought of anything to say, so give me 5 seconds, and then I'll come out with something brilliant. Okay, let's all count along. Everyone at home, I want you to count with me. One, two,
three, four, five.
And I've still got nothing, so let's just keep it rolling. Let's move right on.
All right, we're going to move it on. Hopefully he'll think of something with his enormous, gigantic brain. On Rant and Wrestling. Thank you, Sam, for joining us. I'm so happy.
Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. So, let's see. What can we start off with today? I guess we could start off with some G1 Madness. The G1 Climax was earlier this morning, I believe. I could be wrong. No, I am right. It was this morning.
Yeah, this morning.
And I don't know how your pickups are now, Doomsday, but it's getting down to the wire. For Block A? Whoa. Whoops. Wrong year. Okay. Cause I was like, whoa, Davy Boy. Okay, chill. Block A, tied in first place with 12 points, is AJ Styles and Hiroshi Tanahashi. And I believe it's basically just down to those two. Tetsuya Naito and Bad Luck Fale have 10. Katsuyori Shibata and Togi Makabe have 8. Kota Ibushi and Toriano have 6. Doc Gallows and Hiroshi Tenzan have 4 in Block A. Block B, Kazuchika Okada in the lead with 14 points. Eden Shinsuke Nakamura, Carl Anderson, Hiroki Goto have 12. Tomohiro Ishii, Michael Elgin, who have 8. Yujiro Takahashi, Satoshi Kojima, and Yuji Nagata with 4. And Tomoaki Hama. He doesn't have 0 anymore. He finally has 2 solid points.
It's a miracle.
Finally. It's a miracle. He had no points last year. None. This time, he got it. He finally got it. He's back. And did you call him? You said he had a win. He was going to get a win, what, this weekend? This Saturday, I think you said?
Yeah, I was predicting him getting the win over Yujiro Takahashi.
Yeah. Who did he beat?
He beat Tomohiro Ishii this morning.
Oh, wow.
Really good match.
I did not see that coming. Okay. But, okay.
You know, I think Rob actually kind of predicted it, though. He said, if anything, he should be beating Ishii.
Really?
So Rob was almost on the money. I think he still went for Ishii, but he had that feeling that if he was going to pick up his first win, it would be this match.
Yeah, because the only one I remember is when you was like, he's going to win, like, this week. Like, but I did not know. I forgot what day, and I was like, maybe it was Saturday. Sam, you're catching up with the G1, right?
Yeah, I'm not entirely up to date, but I have been keeping up with the results. And I'll admit, I was surprised, because I didn't think Holman was going to win a match, ever. And if he did, it would have been something that was built up to for a while. But yeah, this surprise win was, it was good. Very good match. I think I caught the end of it. Very good, what I saw of it. And on top of that, it makes sense that he went over Ishii, because he and Ishii had something of a rivalry earlier this year, as I recall. So, yeah, it's better that he beat Ishii than he beat someone that he had no history with. And also it creates a possibility for further matches between the two in the future, which would be absolutely excellent. Aside from that, the other day, AJ Styles and Bad Luck Fale had my favorite match of the tournament.
That
was a real highlight for me.
I only saw the clip that they posted on Tumblr where he was like, you know, too sweet, me a hug. And then he just grabbed him by his throat and just threw him out the ring. And I was like, ooh, that's not safe.
He poked him in the eye first, so.
Oh, shit.
It was AJ's fault.
So dirty. The underboss, right? Try to get their names down back. I don't know them like that. Okay, but that was your favorite match. What was like the best match coming out of that G1 weekend, basically, from all those days? Too many to count.
God damn, I don't know. I think there was a day 9 one. Let me see.
Day 9 was Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, we covered those. We're talking about like last Sunday or today, actually. I heard it was one of those matches. It was like something that, like, the show was like not really that good, but the results were like crazy. I think that was like 2 days ago. I'm not too sure.
Yeah,
I didn't really watch those. I think that was the one where AJ won.
Yeah, Tenzan beat Shibata, I remember, which was pretty questionable. Not a decision I would have made, but yeah, no, it seemed like that was the day where Ghetto decided he was going to throw off everybody's predictions.
Yep.
There was Tenzan and Shibata, and I think there was another one. It was either Tanahashi or Naito or Nakamura who lost to someone completely unexpected.
Now, I tried to explain this to my friend on Tumblr here. AJ Styles and Tanahashi, they have 12 points. So basically whoever, and I believe they're facing each other, so, and whoever wins gets in wins Block A. But Block B, like, since Goto, Anderson, and Nakamura have 12, and Okada has 14, can either one of them beat Okada? Or, like, does Nakamura have to beat Okada and Anderson has to win his match? Like, who can win Block B?
I don't know, man.
Like, because, like, I'm already hearing Nakamura is, like, likely to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I have to runner up my pick'em, so.
Yeah, what does your pick'ems look like?
Oh, mine are terrible now. Everything's out of whack.
You were hanging in there, though. You were hanging in there.
I was. I was, like, top, like, 90th percentile or whatever of the guys up there.
What messed it up?
What?
I said, what messed it all up?
The past, like, few days have been, like, there's been a whole bunch of surprise wins and stuff that threw everything off the past few G1 days.
Damn. I'm sorry, yo. Well, at least you got close. You had it. I don't know if you was in first place yet, but...
I was in third. I was tied for like third place. That was my highest. That was my highest.
You got any notes on Rob's place or just yours?
I think his is pretty low.
Okay. All right. Now I guess we could just book the rest of the day since we're already like talking about it. We already did Wednesday, so that was Block B. We're gonna go to August the 14th, which is Friday, that is day 17. We already got days 17 of these guys wrestling. This is the longest tournament they've had. And we'll go and go back to Block A. I mean, of course, there's only, like, one match you really care about, but I guess we can just, like, finish it since, you know, we've been doing this for a whole 2 weeks now, maybe three. For Block A, Toriano, Bad Luck Fale, does it matter?
No.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Katsuyori Shibata versus Doc Gallows.
Shibata.
Definitely.
Yeah, I say Shibata. Tenzan versus Naito.
Naito.
Super heel.
Yeah, Naito.
Alright, Motoki Makabe versus Kota Ibushi.
I'm gonna go with Ibushi.
I thought Ibushi only has 6 points. I thought he'd be like top tier or something.
I know. You know what? He was the guy I picked to win.
Right. So, and I was agreeing. Like, I think he can win too. The man only got 6 points. It's a shame. Okay. And the winner will actually be winning Block A, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus AJ Styles. Who is winning Block A out of these two?
My heart is telling me Styles.
Yeah. I was thinking Styles too, though.
And I think Tanahashi's been to enough finals, but I thought that 2 years ago as well, and a couple of years before that. Like, I don't know. Tanahashi has this nasty habit of winning wrestling matches.
Plus, I want to see a Gaijin go to the finals for once.
Yeah, it'd be really cool.
I'm going to go with AJ. Like you said before, Tanahashi, he's been up there already, you know. Back still broken, but he's still performing at a high level, which is godly. But yeah. I'm going to go with AJ. AJ's going to win Block A. We're going to go now to Block B Saturday on August the 15th. The last matches for Block B. I guess we'll go with Michael Elgin versus Tomohiro Ishii. Who's going to win this? I want to say Elgin too.
Like, I had Ishii, but I want to say Elgin just because of he's been taking more L's lately, so I think he'd pick up a win for this.
Mm-hmm. And I called the Ishii stuff. Like, he was going to start off strong because he was, like, tied for first.
Yeah.
Up there, and then, like, towards the end, just kind of just fell off. But, yeah, I guess we're pulling from Michael Elgin, who you say is super over.
Yo, he was very over. His last match against Goto, nobody was cheering for Goto. None.
Really?
Everyone was cheering for Elgin.
That's new.
Before, during, and after the match, when he lost, he was still getting cheered. He's cheered on by the crowd. It was crazy.
And see, that's
he had like the second biggest like pop of the night besides Honma.
Elgin is definitely coming back after this tournament's over. Yeah. Like, there's no question he has secured himself a place in New Japan.
Yo, he could like easily like if he got an offer from New Japan, he could easily tell ROH to fuck off and then just stay with New Japan.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely, that's not a problem. Ishii's been having a downfall towards the end. I'm gonna pull for Elgin. Next up is Tomoaki Hanma. Was fresh off that win. Could get a second one against Yojiro Takahashi from the Bullet Club. Is Hanma going to get win number two?
Yes. Yes. I believe
so. I'm going to say no. I want to say yeah, but he already got the win already.
Yeah, but the thing is that he just cut a promo after the match talking about, oh, this is the beginning of my winning streak. You know?
I want to believe everything that loser says.
I don't know, man. Like, I want to be inclined to believe that that's what's going to happen.
You know what? I'm going to believe, too. I'm going to go with Hanma. Fuck.
Okay. You guys be the optimists. I'm going to be the realist. Hanma is never winning another wrestling match until he retires.
Oh, my God. Damn.
Oh, that's too much.
You're the booker, man. Jesus. I mean,
he gets one.
Everybody gets one. He's like, either Ishii or Takahashi. He was like, alright, I'll deal with Ishii. Fuck it. WWE messed up everybody's bracket. Next up is Yuji Nagata going up against Hiroki Goto, who I believe has 10 points, 12 points?
I think it's 12, huh?
Nah, it's 12.
Yeah, it's a 12.
Yes, he's still 12. He needs to win this match. So who's winning this one here?
I got Goto.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I don't think Yuji Nagata's been doing really well this tournament, has he?
No.
So... Nah, so, like, maybe if he was on a hot streak, it'd be Nagata, but I don't think he is, so Goto probably has this one in the bag.
Yeah.
And alright, so, Satoshi Kojima going up against Carl Anderson. Carl Anderson has the same points as Goto. Who's gonna win this one?
I'm gonna go with, Anderson.
Yeah, for suspense purposes, I'm gonna pick Carl Anderson too. Who you got?
I can't say Anderson, because I think AJ Styles is going to the finals, and I don't think there is much chance of it being... Like, the Bullet Club versus Bullet Club, the one match, it was fun and exciting, but I don't think they would main event the G1 climax with a Bullet Club thing.
Well, yeah. Carl Anderson... Wait, did he beat Okada? Because Okada has 14, everybody else has 12.
Yeah.
So if Anderson wins and Okada wins, no, if Anderson wins and Nakamura wins, oh shit, yeah, they'll be tied. But who did Carl Anderson beat Nakamura? Let me see.
I don't think so.
Let me look it up. Nakamura, no, Anderson beat Nakamura. So yeah, you might be right. It might be Bullet Club versus Bullet Club if Carl Anderson wins and Nakamura wins. Alright, so the last match they have here for Block B, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kazuchika Okada. The winner will face who we booked was AJ Styles. Who's gonna win, Nakamura or Okada?
I'm gonna go... Shit. I want to say Okada because of their match. Because he beat him last G1 in the finals.
Right.
So I'm going to go Okada. He has that advantage.
Sam, who you got?
I think this is in Okada's favor because he has the history with AJ and also... Okada's kind of the top guy. Like, Nakamura hasn't been anywhere near the world championship in a really long time.
Plus, he's wrestling kind of hurt now.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Okada definitely has the advantage here.
Okay. Well, that means I'm going to go and shake things up and put Nakamura. I'm going to say Nakamura is going to pull this thing off. Regardless of Carl Anderson or Hiroki Goto wins, I want to see AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. To my knowledge, it hasn't been done before. To my knowledge. I could be wrong. So yes, Nakamura is going to beat Okada, in my opinion. And then we'll have AJ Styles fight. And so on August 16th, that is the finals of the G1 Climax. That will be on Sunday. There's only two matches that I see here. the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. Nick and Mac Jackson, the champions, the mother freaking Young Bucks bringing the Super Kick Hardy all the way to Red Dragon, my client, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. Sam, you're a good person. Who do you think is going to leave this title match as a champion?
I know what you want me to say, and I'm afraid I don't know if I can.
Okay, yes you can. Yes you can.
I could.
You can.
I don't know if I will, because Red Dragon have been out of Japan for a while. Like, they haven't been a really prominent force. They haven't been picking up wins over other teams. Even though Kyle O'Reilly did very well in the Best of the Super Juniors, as a team, they haven't been looking very strong. So, I think it would be a bit out of nowhere and a bit questionable if they won the titles here. I think they should lose to the Young Bucks and then go on a bit of a hot streak and then win the titles back, because Red Dragon are my favorite tag team in the world.
Damn right.
But I don't think this is the right time. I don't think it'd be a big enough moment, and they deserve better.
Like, I've heard that, like, they had an impressive showing in New Japan, but they haven't, like, they lost matches, but they haven't been pinned. Like, if they had a multi-tag team match, like, with, like, Time Splitters, Young Bucks, Red Dragon, Time Splitters would be one taking the pin, not Red Dragon. Mm-hmm. You know, and so either they're trying to keep them safe for something, or, but they like them there from what I've heard. They like them there.
O'Reilly especially is very popular.
Right. You know, so, I mean, I don't see the Young Bucks losing, because they rarely do. And mind you, this is like the sixth or seventh time Red Dragon has faced the Young Bucks. You know, so it's just like, what else are you going to see? But, I don't know. I don't know if DMJ's back. DMJ, are you back yet?
Yeah, man.
Alright. You got any thoughts on the tag title match between the Young Bucks and Red Dragon? My client, the future champion?
Young Bucks ain't losing. I'm sorry. They just don't lose. You know?
Yo, we don't lose either, yo. When I mean we, I mean Red Dragon. We don't lose. We got shenanigans, man. We gonna win.
You don't catch the pin, but you definitely lose, though.
We ain't gonna lose, man. When we bring home the junior heavyweight tag team titles, don't say anything. Keep
right
shut, and I'm gonna just hold the title above my head and be like, "I told you so." The G1 Climax 25 finals. We said AJ Styles against either Okada or Nakamura. I said Nakamura, but I believe y'all said Okada. So if it was between AJ Styles and Okada, who would win between those two, and who would win if AJ faces Nakamura, if y'all were booking the show?
If he ended up facing Nakamura, I wouldn't be surprised seeing Nakamura win, go over, because I don't think it would matter either way. But I think with Okada, it's definitely going to be him getting the win.
Did he win before? He won last year, right?
Yeah.
Damn. It was somebody else, man.
I don't know, man. I just want to see, like, it's kind of goes along with his story of, like, how he's trying to, like, be better and be the ace of the company and all that shit like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if they tacked that on to further his credibility, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it looks like Okada won twice. So, maybe he can win a third time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Tenzan did it. Chono did it. Did it five times. Jesus. Sam, who do you have winning the G1 Climax?
If it's Nakamura versus Styles, I think Nakamura is going to win, because the main event scene has just been Tanahashi, Okada, and Styles for the longest time, and I think a bit of fresh blood would be very good. If it's Styles versus Okada, I think Styles is going to win. I don't think Okada is going to win consecutive G1s, because he doesn't need to. He's on top. He's never going anywhere for the rest of his New Japan career. So, like, it's fine to give other people some wins.
Do you think it's going to hurt the story? Like how Doomsday brought up?
I don't know if it hurts the story. I mean, in New Japan, the booking is very different to typical American booking to such a degree that it's hard to really predict it a lot of the time. But speaking completely personally, I would prefer not to see Okada win twice in a row, just because I'm gonna get sick of Okada if he stays as, you know, kind of absurdly dominant over the other equally good wrestlers. as he has been. Yeah, I completely personally, I would really prefer Okada not to win the tournament this year. So I've got either Nakamura or Styles.
Yeah, I don't mind Styles winning, but like I said, I don't know the story much, so I don't want to like ruin anything. I wouldn't mind Styles winning. Nakamura, he had that forfeit. You know, he's fighting hurt. And, it would be a good win for him. I do agree. I don't think Okada should be the one winning. He won it twice, you know, and once last year, be kind of like, I mean, but then again, I hear people saying, you know, pass the torch to him finally, because he did lose to Tanahashi again at Wrestle Kingdom, you know, so I don't know. It could go either way. It could go either way. Who knows? Tanahashi might fucking be there. Who knows? It could be one of those four, let's say. But yeah, that is the G1. And Sunday will be a big day for those guys. And hopefully, no one gets hurt. Have a great match that everybody can remember. And, that's about it. What happened? I guess we can just move on to, Monday Night Raw. Anything significant or important happened on there?
Summer Rae put the camel clutch on Lana, and it was a little bit sexy.
What in the hell is that flag that goddamn Rusev has?
Yo, that's baller. Baller right there.
He has the nerve to put himself on that damn flag.
His baller status right there.
I see. Oh my goodness. Is Ziggler coming back? Like, it can't just be Lana versus those two.
He'll be back eventually, I assume. Or maybe he won't. Maybe he'll go somewhere else.
I know, right? Just forget about the whole feud.
Speaking of Dolph Ziggler, you heard about his Twitter and Instagram, right?
Nah, what happened?
Yeah, his Twitter and his Instagram got hacked.
Oh shit. Not
again. Yeah, they were talking about ransoming it for like $100,000, and then I think they had posted a picture of some female genitalia on Instagram, which eventually prompted, I guess, his Instagram to get, suspended or terminated or something like that. So I think that's no longer available, but yeah, it's rough.
Damn it. Why everybody got keep hacking shit? Leave him alone. He's Dolph Ziggler. What can he do?
He never hurt anybody.
He don't. Shit, just leave him alone. What else happened? John Cena come back? Did he come back?
No, he did not.
Damn, that man's really MIA. I hope they fixed his face.
No, he showed up the day after on Tough Enough.
Oh, okay. Did you see his nose? Like, did it look sideways?
Not really.
Okay. Damn, got some good doctors, yo. I did hear that it was an open challenge with Seth Rollins, but I prefer, because I put this on Twitter, I prefer that him having the same stipulation, under 6 foot, gotta be under 200 pounds, until Cena comes back and ruins that shit. But turns out, I believe they had a triple threat match, and the winner is going to face Seth Rollins later that night. It was Kevin Owens, Mr. Entertainment, going up against Cesaro and Randall Keith Orton, and a lot of people was like Cesaro or Kevin Owens, and I said my first guess was Randy Orton. I was like, he's the safe pick. It's Monday Night Raw, and they're not going to give you Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. You know, it's not like Cena versus Cesaro, because you know, right, Cena's already established, but Seth Rollins against Cesaro, that can hold off for another time. That needs to be hyped up. Same thing with Kevin Owens against Seth Rollins. A heel versus heel, that's not going to happen either. So Orton was my safe pick. And granted, Orton wasn't going to win, but it was a safe pick out of the three. So I heard the match was okay.
I actually thought it was really good.
See? Like Sam Windsor?
I imagine it would have been. Their WrestleMania match was great. I did not personally see Monday Night Raw because I prefer to get a good night's sleep and stay healthy. But yeah, I hope Rollins won and doesn't fight Cena, because this storyline can't end well.
No. I've heard a lot of people say, like, it's hard to recover from a Cena feud. I think Owens is going through that trial with Cesaro now.
Yeah.
We don't know if, like, if it's going to be bad for him. Because, ever since, what, maybe, like, 2 years ago, when Cena hasn't been in the main event picture,
yeah,
people have a hard time recovering from this man. They really do. Because they're like, oh, you get to work with Cena, you get to work with him, like, a couple matches in, you know, your career's going to boost up. Maybe. But what about afterwards? What about the long term? Because Cena's going to be fine, you know, unless he says some racist shit, you know. But he's going to be fine. He's not going to go anywhere. Cena's untouchable right now. But it's going to be hard for him to recover. And Rollins is now in a feud with this man. And I still have him winning. I still have him beating John Cena for right now. Sam, you got any thoughts on Seth Rollins' title reign? Do you think he's a good champion, or how do you think his run is going?
I think he's been kind of suffering for challenges. Like, no one was especially interested in the Randy Orton feuds, and the Dean Ambrose feud was kind of dead on arrival because he'd had that feud with him previously that hadn't been as interesting as it should have been or could have been. I think he's been great. I think Rollins himself has been incredibly good. You know, way better than any of us could have seen him being, even as early back as the Shield. You know, let alone when he was Tyler Black. You know, he's come so far as an overall performer. I love Seth Rollins. I really like him. But I don't think his reign's been very impressive, and I worry he might be the one punished for that, for the lack of interest in him as the main event.
Well, they tried. They put him with Triple H. Now he's doing the Pedigree, and that's going to just make you think of Triple H. You know, you got to fit his nose somewhere in this. But I like his title reign. I really do. He's a heel. You're supposed to hate him. And if you hate him, then he's doing a good job. That's how I see it. And him being a champion, yeah, but he cheats to win, but he's a heel. Yeah, he beat Dean Ambrose in that ladder match, and he just happened to just fall and have the title in his hand. Yeah, he won by luck. That's what you're supposed to say after the match, because he is the heel. Now, if you said that about the face, then it would be just ass backwards, but not the case. Seth Rollins is actually a pretty good champion. He might be booked to be shit, but that's booking him to be shit. Doing it on purpose. That's what his character is. He's a shit heel. But he's really good in the ring. That's the same. I was listening to the podcast to, I believe this was either Solid Monster or Good Mike Works, one of those two. And it was like, this is the same Seth Rollins from when he was in FCW, when he was first NXT champion, the same Seth Rollins, as far as in the ring work. Same Seth Rollins from the Shield, you know, same Seth Rollins when he first turned heel, before he got the championship. You know, it's the same Seth Rollins when he had the Money in the Bank, the same guy. And he's still killing it. He can do it. You know, he survived Brock Lesnar. He beat Dean Ambrose, whether people liked it or not. He's going to beat Cena. I still think he's going to beat Cena. Yeah, Cena will get his title. I mean, his 16-time or 17-time world title. Yeah, he'll get it, but I don't think he's going to get it at SummerSlam. I don't see it happening. But that's my whole thought on just Seth Rollins. I don't know, I just had to get that out of the way. Dude, you got anything on his title reign? You don't think it's that bad, yeah?
I don't think it's that bad. I don't think, it really isn't. I think people are making a big deal about it. I feel like this is their plan for it, but yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. I believe, like I said, Randy Orton won. He didn't beat Seth Rollins. Was he trying to cash in? Sheamus?
Sheamus tried to cash in.
Oh, poor thing. And yeah. I think everybody was like, no, but...
He got dropped by Randy Orton, because he was the one who ended up interfering, costing Randy Orton a match. Randy Orton actually hit Seth Rollins with the RKO, was about to pin him, and then Sheamus came out and ruined the whole thing.
Okay, yeah, and that's another thing I called. I was like, it doesn't matter who wins the triple threat, someone's gonna do a run-in and cost him the damn match. And if Owen was gonna win the triple threat, Cesaro was gonna run in. If Cesaro ran in and won the match, Owens is gonna run in. If Orton won the match, Sheamus is gonna run in. So I knew somebody was gonna save Seth Rollins' fast. I knew they would. You know, it's just a cycle that they go through, and it's just, they keep beating it, wrenching deep, anything else happened on, Ride Off? That Aero guy, I did see him hop the fucking rail.
He hopped over, not only hopped over the barricade, but hopped over the ring. It was crazy.
Yeah, like, Chris, like, he done it before. Easily athletic.
I heard he does most of his own stunts in Aero, so I'm not surprised.
Right. That man's a legit superhero. And he's probably going to be in costume at SummerSlam, I'm pretty sure. Because I believe they made a match for him. But, anything else? They had Divas matches? You up, Tom?
Yeah, there was a couple. I forgot what the outcome of them was, though.
We don't watch them. I haven't seen NXT in a while, either. I think it's actually... Keep up. Really? I haven't seen NXT in a minute. And I used to watch it, like, every week. I just been, like, Lucha Undergrounding this shit. Guess we can just talk about that. Segway! Lucha Underground last week, Ultimate Lucha Part 2 happened, and some people say it could be their show of the year, as far as wrestling goes, and I will have to agree. I don't know if it's like show of the year for me, but it is a really good wrestling show. Part 1 even, like, with the Matt Cade, I still talk about that match. Fucking insane. Sam, did you see Ultima Lucha?
Fuck yeah, I saw Ultima Lucha.
Alright.
Ultima Lucha, for the last year, it's been the best wrestling show on television, and I don't think there's really any competition. I mean... I thought it made NXT really good for a little while, but that was, compared to how long Lucha Underground has been fucking phenomenal, you know, I think just in terms of its consistency and the stuff it's trying, like, Lucha Underground is so ambitious, and ambition is kind of, to me, that's a free pass. Like, if you're trying something that no one's ever tried before, because there's a chance it'll crash and burn and be absolutely dreadful, but there's also a chance that it'll become the new normal, because that's the kind of risk that immediately just wins me over, whether it works out or not. And it constantly works out when Lucha Underground tries it, because those guys know what they're doing, man. They know everything there is to know about putting together a wrestling show, because they got some of the best wrestling minds in history. But they know everything there is to know about putting together a television show, because they've got fucking Robert Rodriguez helping out. Mm-hmm. And so, being this hybrid, you know, Lucha Libre telenovela, and both parts, because both parts are executed so well, they mesh so flawlessly, and it just ends up being, it's an experience. Lucha Underground isn't a wrestling show. It's not a televised drama. It is an experience.
Yeah.
That makes me want to watch it again, man. Good shit.
Right? Yeah. I don't think I picked up for a second season.
Like, one of the producers said he's 99.9% positive that, like, they'll come back for a second season. Because there's already been plans being made for that season. you know?
Yeah. I think they're going to have it at a different place this time.
Yeah, yeah, they moved it. They're going to move out of Boyle Heights, and it's going to be elsewhere. I think somebody suggested that it'll be somewhere in Texas or something like that. Or somewhere, like...
No, oh, they're moving out the state. I thought they was going to stay in California and, find somewhere else.
They're saying it's a possibility that they could go out of state.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, out of state into a brand new state.
Damn. Because I like that Boyle Heights place. Yeah. It's actually really different. Like, it wasn't like no entrance ramp like you would normally see. You know, they either come through that big-ass, hole that they have there with smoke coming out, or they just come from, where the fans are and just walk down the steps.
Hmm.
You know, something different like that is innovative. And it's and my favorites is the when they're doing their promos and stuff, it almost looks like a damn movie.
Yeah.
You know, and Dario Cueto is legit. I didn't know much about him because everybody's like, oh, a heel authority figure. You know, we've seen that so many times, but it's not like, you know, he had a squad with him. He was by himself majority of the time.
Yeah.
And he was doing a lot of the same shit, but the fans didn't seem to care. The fans were into it, man, the whole show, and I don't think this pipe did sound or anything. Granted, I mean, there are tapes that gives them a way to, you know, edit things out, which is fine. I'm not complaining about that. They don't even have to go live. I could take a tape, Lucha Underground, every week. I don't even watch the show, actually. I actually go on YouTube and watch the highlights and the fight of the week. You know, and that's enough for me. You know, and it's just a really, really, really great idea. And it's not like Wrestling Society X or anything. Like, they tried it and they've done it well. Really well. For people that are begging for a season 2. And it might be on Netflix. Like, who knows? That'll be another great thing for people. Because I know that some people still don't have Elric. You know, and a lot of people have Netflix. So if they can just watch them to Underground, you know, whenever they want to, that's just a double, you know, a plus for me. And it's going to be an HD. Yeah. Alright. Ultimate Lucha Part 2. Do y'all have a favorite match that y'all saw from this show? Because I had a couple.
Well, I'm gonna name the obvious one first. Pentagon Vampiro is one of the best wrestling matches I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. Now, and as far as that match goes with Pentagon Jr. and Vampiro, I thought it was going to be a one-on-one wrestling match. And I was kind of nervous. And then they put a no disqualification, which gave it relaxed rules, which was perfect, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, and fucking Vampiro getting cheered like he's freaking God over there. Like, they love Vampiro. They really, really did. And they love Pentagon Jr., which was a given. But he came to, this evil pope type deal.
Yeah, it was dope.
Yeah, you know, it was actually really dope. Cero Miedo. But yeah, that match was bloody. He ripped the mask up, you know, and Pentagon Jr. got bloodied up and stuff like that. We make it really graphic. There were thumbtacks. There was freaking fire on the damn
fire. He was literally lit on fire.
Literally. And to the point where he was on the outside, he was still burning. And I was that's real fire. That shit was really, really crazy. And,
the plot twist at the end.
Dude, oh, wait. Yeah. Plot twist? Wait, I think someone brought this up. Was it the first time they actually used light tubes on, a television, a wrestling television show? WWE does light tubes, and WCW never really did it. TNA, I don't think they've done light
tubes. Yeah, I've never seen TNA use light tubes.
Right, I think it's just a CZW thing. But I've never seen light tubes on an American television show.
Yeah.
You know, or on, for as far as wrestling. But the plot twist towards the end, Vampiro is the master. Even Pentagon Jr. didn't even know, which was fantastic, and the fans ate it up. Awesome. Did you guys like the ending of Pentagon Jr. and Vampiro?
Loved it.
It was great. Go ahead.
Again, man. They shocked us with wrestling. They shocked me with wrestling.
And it throws the whole storyline in a new light. It had the fucking, it had the Breaking Bad thing, where if you go back and watch the old scenes, it's, they mean something completely different.
Yeah.
Because for the whole storyline, Pentagon was talking about how he had to destroy Ian Hodgkinson. And like, that's not, some people were questioning that, because that's not really a name that Vampiro goes by. Yeah. But flash forward to Ultima Lucha, where it turns out his master was directing him the whole time to destroy what remained of Vampiro's humanity so he could go back to being, like, you know, the fucking, the creature of pure evil that he used to be.
Yeah.
It's incredible, incredibly well written, which isn't something you can say about a great many wrestling storylines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, before I, watched the match, I read up on Vampiro, and they talk about this motherfucker jumped out of the window of his house, because it was like some robber in his house, or a fire or something, and he jumped out and he broke his back. I was like, okay, that's pretty graphic, and I believe in the beginning, before the ambulance came out, like, he got slammed on the hard floor, to lift up the mat. And I was like, oh shit, like, that's terrible. And he got up and came back and thumbtacks and light tubes and then the swerve at the end. But it was a really, really good swerve. It wasn't no confusing, like, huh? Like, okay, I guess that makes sense. It was more like when he said, you know, my son, and everybody's like, what? Right. And he's like, yeah, I'm the master. I'm like, oh shit, like, I didn't even see that coming. Wrestling is pretty predictable nowadays. That one had unpredictability. When you have unpredictability, it becomes gold. You know, it can't go wrong. Another match I liked was Johnny Mundo versus Alberto El Patron.
Yeah.
I think they had a match before, and I really liked that match too. This match was a little bit better. Mundo actually beat Patron, but Melina came back.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot she existed. And they're back together, I guess, because I thought they were done.
I thought they were, too.
And, yeah, they came back. You know, I didn't mind it. I mean, of course, Patron got the last laugh at the end with freaking threw Mundo through the damn window, and he just looked like he just got murdered. You know, of course he got the last laugh, but y'all thoughts on that match, Mundo and Patron?
Yeah, It's really weird that they decided to have a bit of WWE continuity come up, because,
yeah.
But they barely, like, acknowledge WWE, even in regards to the people they have wrestling for them who used to wrestle there.
Yeah.
But, like, it's cool that they did it. It's like, it's kind of a, it's like a comic book thing. Like, when you have this character show up that you wouldn't know about unless you were really heavily into comic lore for a long time. Like, it's not exactly like that, because WWE is obviously the most, you know, most watched wrestling company, but it was, yeah, that it wasn't something you'd ever expect, but at the same time, it was completely feasible. Like, if you consider that, you know, WWE and Lucha Underground share a continuity, and that John Cena exists in the same universe as an actual dragon, which is a fun thought. When you consider that, it's like, yeah, it makes complete sense, really, within the wrestling fictional universe.
Alright. Dude, say you got any thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I definitely liked the ending with Melina getting involved and all that stuff like that. So, yeah, it just makes it more interesting for next season.
Yes. Now the seven way battle royal, you know, the gift of the gods, the championship with the seven medallions on there looks really, really dope. Phoenix wound up winning. The match was actually really, really fun. They did have some run ins. Granted, they had seven guys already in there, and then Marty the mom. He comes in, and I think Daivari came out also. And I think that's it. But, that match, I mean, the match was really, really, really fun. And Phoenix was really cool. Arrowstar diving off of, I believe, I think that's higher than the stage that Angelico normally runs off.
Yeah, it was higher. It was like it was a lot higher.
Right. I wouldn't have did it unless it was a fire behind me. Fuck that. You know. Y'all got any thoughts on the Gift of the Gods championship? He does have the chance to become Lucha Underground champion,
which so, furthers the storyline between those two.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing. You know, and I believe at the end, like, when he was in the car and Phoenix drove off, was that King Cuerno in the other car following him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, that could continue that because King Cuerno was in that match. You know, the battle, the Gift of the Gods thing. But he didn't get pinned, so I guess he must have just felt like, hey, I didn't lose, so, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, they had a shot of him specifically, like, after Phoenix won, looking, like, real pissed off that he was, like, because he was the only one, other than the two that were in the ring, he was the only one still conscious, still up. So,
yeah,
there was some type of way that he wasn't able to make it in time.
Yeah.
The thing about the Gift of the Gods, you have to, you know, cash in that title shot in for the future, but there are people that can still challenge you for that title, you know, so they can become number one contender, I believe. Or is it that you have the belt, but you can hold on to it forever until, like, what, a certain amount of time, then people can challenge you, or just anybody can challenge you?
I think anyone can challenge you. You just have to, I think
you catch it before someone challenges you.
Yeah.
Which is a nice little nifty way of having the title. Not too bad.
It's a bit like TNA's option B thing where if you hold the X Division title for long enough, you can cash it in.
Yeah.
For a shot at the world title.
Yeah, but people are going to be after this guy, so we might as well like cash it in as soon as he can, because eventually he's going to lose his chance of being, you know, cashing it in to get a title shot. You know, and it's not guaranteed he's going to win anyway. But we'll move on from that. Blue Demon Jr. versus Tejano. So probably the lowest point of the show. But coming from Vampiro on fire, a crazy seven-way, and a man that had been thrown through a window with Melina coming back, this was the lowest point. And for some reason, there was no disqualification for some damn reason. And I believe it was supposed to be Chavo, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then he got hurt, I believe. And Blue Demon Jr. won. I'm guessing no one gave a shit. So we're going to move on. to Mil Muertes going up against Prince Puma for the Lucha Underground Championship. Prince Puma did fell defeat to Mil Muertes. He is the new Lucha Underground Champion. The Disciples of Death are the new Trios Champions. They have all the golds. Katrina has the Rock, literally. And, another great match. I believe if Pentagon Jr. and Vampiro was a match of the night, and Johnny Mundo and El Patron was a match of the night for them, and the Gift of the Gods was a match of the night for them, Mil Muertes and Prince Puma was freaking fantastic. That was the main event right there. That was the main event world title match that lived up to perfection.
It was crazy seeing like all the offense Prince Puma like did on his like Mil Muertes, and like Mil Muertes like just shrugged it off. It was just insane.
I wasn't a fan of Mil Muertes because of his Ricky Banderas and his Wrestling Society X gimmick and size, you know. But with this Mil Muertes guy, he's freaking OP. He's literally the luster of this place.
Yeah,
because he is so hard to take down, and he's big as hell. Like, he's a big dude, and him in that mask, it's freaking frightening. You know, him and Pentagon, those eyes. But yes, that was a really good match between both of those guys, and I'm pretty sure they're going to have a rematch for the title, and Puma will lose that one too. Sam, you got any thoughts on Mil Muertes versus Prince Puma Underground Championship?
I can't believe how good Mil Muertes is, honestly. Like, I don't know. It seems like a simple role because you don't have to do anything technical. You don't have to do anything splashy. You don't really have to worry about selling. You just got to hit people really, 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 really hard. And that said, I read in a Q&A session, actually, that one of the producers on the show did, that originally Marcy, the guy playing Marcy the Moth, was planned to be Mil Muertes. And I thought about it, and I thought, that guy's good, but it wouldn't have been the same.
No.
Like, you really got to give all the credit in the world to Ricky Banderas. He's doing such good work. Like, I would say the best work of his career, really.
Yeah, it is.
Because he's never been, you know, yeah, like, Judas Mesias has never been anyone's favorite wrestler, but Mil Muertes is...
on point.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say top five Lucha Underground wrestlers. He's got to be.
Yeah.
He's just an attraction. Now that they have all the... Mind you, this is a heel faction. So people are going to be trying to get to these guys, but who the fuck is going to take down Mil Muertes? Like, Phoenix beat him in a casket match, and Mil Muertes lost in the, what's it, that Lucha Underground title match where they was going to crown a new champion. I think it was the Boyle Heights thing, above. And that was the only time he's actually been defeated, to my knowledge. And the reason why he was defeated with that is because it was like Prince Puma and Johnny Mundo doing their, like, finishes on him and took him down. That's it. He lost to the casket match. He came back stronger. You know, so Phoenix has a history with Mil Muertes, which can draw storylines for that. Where can Prince Puma go from here? He lost the Lucha Underground Championship. And they got the Disciples with the Trios titles. And they was posing in the ring. And that was, like, a great... Nothing wrong with a heel winning a main event. You don't see that as often as you do, you know. Besides Triple H winning in 2000. But anyway, yeah, Mil Muertes, he's the man. Good shit on him. And like we said at the end, you know, they had the, you know, the what? I almost called him fucking Supernova. Aerostar fucking went over to the Cosmos and Drago went into some damn fire. You know, and you saw King Cuerno following Phoenix. And Marty the Moth caught Sexy Star, wrapped her up in, like, what, 50 yards of fucking rope?
Yeah, and, it was insane.
Yeah, and he's near this lamp. Like, face first near this lamp. And I'm like, oh, she's a fucking moth. Like, duh. And he was like, wait till my sister gets a hold of you. So that could set up maybe, like, you know, something else for season two. Like, who is the sister? Like, what kind of bug is he fucking bringing? You know? And what else? You know, the Trios team of Evilly, Son of Havoc, and Angelico, they're chilling, they riding off the sunset, whatever. And mind you, freaking Evilly hurt. Still going episode after episode after episode, still wrestling, you know, with her boot on. Shows how strong she is, you know. Dario Cueto left the building. Guys, Lucha Underground is over. It's never coming back.
That last, like, just that last 4 minutes with that sequence of, like, the aftermath was just crazy. And just... the cinematography at the end, with like them having that shot of Dario Cueto and him just like his body just like slowly exiting the building, all while everything's getting dark and red. It was just crazy. It was great. It was a great ending.
And another point, what's that guy that was like on the billboard drawing a question mark?
I think, cause, what's his name got murked by Lotus,
right.
Asian.
Yeah.
That person who drew the question mark took his mask.
Okay.
Also.
So maybe he's on the hunt for, of where Lucha Underground is going to next. He's going to be trying to figure out how to get there or whatever. I think that's what it is.
Okay. Sam, you have something to say?
Yeah. What a lot of people don't notice is that El Dragon Azteca and the guy he did the martial arts fight with at the end of Ultimate Alicia Part 1.
Yeah.
They're the guys from the first scene of the first episode of Lucha Underground. They're the two guys. Like, that was the opening scene of the series. This guy's getting beaten up. That guy's getting beaten up, and Dragon Azteca saves him, and he's like, come with me. And, like, that scene completely disconnected from everything else, and then it came full circle over the course of the series, and man, it's just great, man. The fact that something was going on in the background with these two, and hopefully we'll be seeing more of El Dragon Azteca's disciple in the next season, if there is a next season.
Yeah.
There's like, that's really something to look forward to.
Oh, damn, it was another part I forgot. They drove off. I believe it was Dario Cueto and Black Lotus. They drove off, and then they had this, like, this little trailer behind them with a hole in it, and there was some guy in a mask just looking through.
Oh, that's that's Dario Cueto's brother.
Yeah.
He's some mobster. He's the one who killed who killed Bale.
Okay.
Remember? Yeah. And another thing that's great about Lucha Underground is that when they kill all characters. Like,
they're dead. Like,
So you have two guys that died. Two guys that died in this series. It's crazy.
And it's not like Mickey James died in TNA when fucking, what did they, pushed her in the fucking subway? Something dumb.
Yeah, but,
you know, full alert, she's alive. But they're all alive. You know, but, scale of 1 to 10 on Lucha Underground Part 1 and 2 combined.
I don't think a 10 would be overstating it, honestly. I don't think it could have been better, with the exception of the Tejano match. So maybe a 9.5.
Exactly. I was gonna say 9.5 just because of that match.
Man, like, okay. Blue Demon Jr. and Tejano. I mean, because Drago and Hernandez wasn't really that cool neither. The Believer's Backlash match. That one was like, whatever.
I really liked that match.
I liked it.
It wasn't worse than fucking Blue Demon Jr. and Tejano. That's the bottom. Even the Disciples of Death against Ivelisse and Helico and Son of Havoc, they really need a name. That one was fine. It wasn't too bad, but I think the Gift of the Gods match was a little bit better than that. As far as Part 1, Cage in the Mask was fucking shit. He had a stunner and beer in that match. No, fuck that. That was a great-ass match. I want to give it a 10. With the intro, the outro, the first match to the last match, to the middle, to the match where I didn't think was even going to be good. I had to look at the tickets for him, Pentagon Jr. and Vampiro. That was good. The new announcer wasn't that bad. It's okay.
Oh, no, he was great. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, like, even him, replacing Vampiro. We have questions for the end of the season. We have something to look forward to. There's storyline development just in case they had a season 2. You know, they have a new champion. They have a heel faction that is damn near unstoppable. You have something to look forward to, and the story is really well done. Production is perfect. I would give this show a motherfucking 10. Fuck Tejano and fucking Blue Demon Jr. They can't hurt this show. They can't even hurt the show. It's too good. Granted, I didn't watch Lucha Underground until March. That's when I first started watching. I was a little late, but I was hearing how good the show really was, and I said, okay, fucking, let me try it out. Ever since then, I've been loving it. And there's wrestlers there that you wouldn't even think would be there. Like, fucking Ricky Reyes is the fucking New Age Punisher B-Boy. And fucking Willie Mack. And fucking Ezekiel Jackson. And Shane Strickland.
Shane Strickland.
Apparently, the only reason Shane Strickland is there is because Ricochet suggested him. And the only reason Ricochet is around is because one of the producers suggested him also.
Yeah. See, they see something in these talents, and they brought them in. I like Killshot. You know? Yeah. I want to see more of Killshot, honestly. And there's AAA wrestlers that I have no idea who they are, and they're fantastic talents like Errol Starr and King Cuerno, who is Mike Onnit, Pentagon Jr., Miro Viejo, Phoenix, even Texas Star. Like, it's a fantastic roster. And then you add Alberto Patron.
This Lucha Underground has done wonders for a few of these guys because these guys are getting booked all over the place.
Jack Evans?
Aerostar, Phoenix, Pentagon Jr. They're getting spots in PWG and I believe AAW.
Yep, AAW already posting them. They're in the King of Trios.
Yeah, oh yeah, King of Trios. Yeah, forgot.
Yeah, you know they're getting their shit in all because of Lucha. I'm saying it all because of Lucha Underground. These wrestlers from AAA are well known around the world now. There's a lot of Pentagon Jr. fans out there. There's a lot of Phoenix fans. Mofo Magic's playing Sexy Star. You know, like, these guys, they're mixing. Brian Cage! There's another one. Freaking Cage is booked there. Matt Cross, Son of Havoc. Where the fuck has Jack Evans been? I haven't seen him in forever. Since he was in, TNA that one time with freaking, it was like a four-way with Austin Aries, Loki, Jack Evans, and, I believe, what's his name? I'm looking right at him. He was in the Embassy.
Zim Ryan.
No, not Zim Ryan.
Right.
Jimmy Rave.
Ah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jimmy Rave, gonorrhea.
Right. I have, gonorrhea, greetings from John. This is a really, really good show. This is the first time I don't mind watching Alberto El Patron.
Yeah.
Normally, he bores me. But in there, they love that guy. They love Vampiro. They don't oversaturate Chance. You know, Cero Miedo is my favorite champ. But, they pop so loud. I don't know if they boost the volume in there or that place just really echoes, sound really well in that place. And I learned to love that place, like how PWG and Reseda, that's just the place to be. You want to be in Boyle Heights.
Yeah.
Underground should come back, man. Fuck. Why are they going away? I could do without Marty DeMoss. He's fucking sweet. I don't give a fuck.
No, I don't know. Marty DeMoss thing sounds kind of interesting.
I'm just talking about the story is fine. Yeah, keep him. Not the biggest fan of Drago.
Really good. But you don't like Drago.
Drago's fine. But I like Phoenix better. Like, if you gave me those two, yeah, I'm going with Phoenix. That's just me. But, Ultima Lucha, Lucha Underground as a whole, I had a tough time ranking my top 10 matches from Lucha Underground. I still haven't decided who was number one yet. I mean, it might be the Grave Consequences. I have, Johnny Mundo versus El King Cuerno and, Steel Cage. That was a good match. I think it was the Aztec Medallions match, the last one, the one that Phoenix won. I'm not counting. I mean, here's the thing how I set mine up. I'm not counting the match that was last year for season one. I'm counting all the matches from this year, season one. And the matches have to be clean finishes. There was a lot of great matches that they had, but they had run-ins at the end. So I didn't count those. I wanted it to be a clean finish. Prince Puma versus Cage in that Boyle Heights match. That was another good one. The All Night Long match, the Prince Puma and Johnny Mundo.
Yeah.
That one was another great match. They're all the matches from Ultima Lucha. That's not going to change. The Crew versus Son of Havoc, Evilise and Angelico. When Angelico fucking just dove off that shit.
Yeah.
Prince Puma against Drago. There's a couple matches, man. Really good matches. Any last thoughts on Ultima Lucha? Or any last thoughts on Lucha Underground as a unit?
unmissable. You know, if this is all there is and it's never re-aired, I think it is essential watching for any wrestling fan.
Yeah.
There needs to be a petition signed if they're not having a season two. If they don't have a season two, that is legit. That is bullshit. It's the best wrestling show on television. And they didn't even have 12 months to do this shit, I don't think. When did they start Lucha Underground Season 1?
Like, late last year?
Like, yeah, it was like November?
Yeah, November and December.
Yeah, it was late. They didn't even have a full calendar year. It's the best show on television. Literally. Well, we don't even talk about it on the show that much, but Ultima Lucha was... I have talked about that show. That show was fucking amazing. Anything else that we got, as far as wrestling this week? Nah, I think we talked about it. Everything. If we didn't, we'll come back to it, I guess. Alright, I guess I'll go through the, shows of the weekend. We already covered the G1 Climax. I have three shows here. One is AIW's Battle of the Sexes 2. They had one last year that was actually pretty okay. This one I'm pretty sure they're going to have a little bit more work added to it. It's basically, for those that don't know, Battle of the Sexes is male versus female. The whole show. So the match that they have here is Gregory Iron against Danny Social, All Ego Ethan Page versus AK-47 Alpha K, and they've been cutting great promos against each other. Watch the promo that Alpha K done. Just did like a day ago.
Yeah.
And it's about a minute long, but it gets straight to the point, and it was really, really good. You know, so check that out, Ethan Page versus Alpha K. The very underrated Lewis Mendy going up against my client, Heidi Lovelace. I don't know why they booked this match, but this is going to be really, really dangerous. Mia Yim going up against the War King, Eddie Kingston.
Oh, that's the, it's like a lover's quarrel.
Yeah, like, I get the beef, I get it, but man, Kingston's not going to be in a good mood. He hasn't been for a while. Johnny Gargano versus Candice LeRae. They had a great match last year. Let's see if they can duplicate it this year. Former women's champion Athena goes up against a mystery guy. Probably bringing out somebody from the outside. I have no idea who it is. Tag team match with Two Infinity and Beyond of Colin Delaney and Cheech going up against tag team of Sugar and Spice. And I'm guessing her name is Tessa Blanchard. And what's that girl's name? Kayla Hendricks. She's going to be there. Crazy Mary Dobson going up against Madman Pondo. Why, I don't know.
Madman?
Yeah, Madman Pondo. Going up against Crazy Mary Dobson. Where did they find Madman Pondo at? I don't know. AIW people.
Where
the fuck they dig him at? I don't know. This is the same place where they book Tracy Smothers people.
Oh, yeah, that's and, right.
Yeah.
And Buck Hagrid.
Right, and Eddie Gilbert. But yeah, and I'm pretty sure this is going to be the main event, the AIW Heavyweight Champion, Ricky Shane Page, going up against Beta Scott. And that, yeah, I know. And that is that for AIW. Now we're going to go to Evolve 47. This will be on Saturday, August 15th. And the matches that they have here, I don't believe they changed their card, because they always do. But whatever. The match that they have here is Biff Busick versus Tracy Williams in a bonus match. Whatever the fuck that is. You know they got titles for all these matches. The special challenge match of Ray Horace versus Trent Beretta. Special attraction match, Chris Hero versus Speedball Mike Bailey. And they had a match at PWG, right?
I believe so.
I think they did.
Yeah, that's true. Last show, it was apparently the best match of the night and one of the best hit matches Heroes had in the last couple of years.
I think Heroes has been a solid year.
Yeah.
As far as match points go, he's having actually pretty good.
Yeah, tag and singles he's been doing pretty good.
Yeah, and Mike Bailey.
Tag especially.
Oh, yeah, I love Chris Hero tag matches, man. King of wrestling. Yeah. And Mike Bailey, no slouch either. He won Best of the Best. this year ain't even turned it up, win or lose. This is a singles rematch from Last Queen's Event. Anybody remember Last Queen's Event? No. Rich Swann versus Drew Gulak. I don't even remember these guys wrestling. Next up is the Anything Goes Event. This is a feud that they are having in Evolve. Johnny Gargano going up against All Scopes and Page in the main event for the Evolve Championship. The champion Timothy Thatcher defending against Rob's client, Zack Sabre Jr. And last time I checked, I believe it was Evolve 34, and they had a fantastic match, but Zack Sabre won that match. So maybe he might win the Evolve Championship here? I'm not sure. It is possible. It is Gabe. So don't sell them short. Evolve 48 on Sunday. On August 16th. The matches that they have. Okay, someone told me Trevor Lee is getting a title shot. That's what I heard. But I'm gonna just read what I see here. Drew Gulak and Tracy Williams going up against Mike Bailey and Ray Horace. Evolve 41 rematch, Ethan Page versus Rich Swann. Why did they have to have it? Whatever. Special challenge match of Johnny Gargano versus Ethan Page's mystery opponent. Almost like a pick your poison, but just for Gargano. Former partners collide. Trent Beretta going up against Caleb Conley, and I believe Trent Beretta has been quote unquote fired from the Premier app. Oh no. The battle of the best. Chris Hero versus Zack Sabre Jr. And I believe they just had a match in PWG, which was fucking amazing, Mystery Vortex 3. That was a really good, I swear Gabe is paying attention. He is paying attention. And, he's looking at himself. Yeah, it does. Really good match between those two. Like I said, Chris Hero's been killing it. And of course, Zack Sabre Jr. is no slouch at all. He could be the Evolve champion that night. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And, they have a no holds barred match. The final showdown between Tim Thatcher and Biff Busick. But, like I said, I could have sworn Trevor Lee's getting a title shot, or maybe that was with the FIP title. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that shit. But, that is it for the, shows for the week, and 5-star wrestling time. Sam, pick a number.
Okay, easy. 3.
No, I heard that. I heard that, you fucking bastard. Number 3. This is by a guy on Tumblr called Power Driver and Cheap Heat. And I haven't seen him in a while, actually. I hope he didn't change his name. Because sometimes people change their names and I can't find them to give shout-outs. People, please keep your names the same. Thank you. Except Sam, I think you changed it, but I know it already. The name that he has here is the first one, actually. I don't know if you know her, but I did bring up her name earlier today. It is Tessa Blanchard. I've only seen, like, one match of hers, and I know she has, like, hella charisma. That's all I can probably give on it. Do y'all know anything about Tessa Blanchard?
None whatsoever.
Sam?
I know she's Tully's daughter. I've heard she's very good and very strong. And
yeah.
I know if it was me, I would have made my gimmick that I was like an investigator of aliens, and I would have called myself Scully Blanchard. But I'm not going to tell the woman how to live her career.
Scully Blanchard. Okay. Well, like I said, she was very, what's that word? Yeah, charismatic. I believe, or maybe I'm talking about the wrong person. I know little to none about Tessa Blanchard right now. A person that I do know is a former ECW champion and WWE Tag Team Champion when he was Chainsaw Charlie. I'm talking about the Funker, Terry Funk.
Jeez.
He probably has the most retirement matches in wrestling history. Terry Funk is old as hell, and I think he's immortal. I don't think he'll ever go away. God forbid he goes away tomorrow. And I'll feel hella bad. But I know he was on the first pay-per-view at ECW, and he won the title there, and they had a great show there. And Terry Funk, I never hear anything bad about him. Ever. Like, he sounds like a really humble guy. He wants to help out everybody that he's near. He loves the business. I can't even tell you, like, his best matches, because I know they're, like, old, and I'm not an old wrestling fan. So, y'all have any thoughts on Terry Funk?
Yeah, I think Terry Funk is old enough to be considered an important part of wrestling history. Like, he was kind of the father of deathmatch wrestling, but way before that, he was, you know, he was one of the first guys ever to go over to Japan and make it huge as a non-Japanese man. And, he's done a great deal to change the wrestling business. And the fact that he's still, you know, still kicking today and still probably basically wrestling somewhere is incredible. The man is one of a kind. You know, he's a perfectly unique talent, and we were lucky to be blessed with him.
Yes. I would say that. Yes. Very, very respected. Like I said, nothing bad I've ever heard about Terry Funk, about anything, nothing racial, nothing like, oh, he's done it for himself. You know, oh, he stole money. It is nothing bad that I've ever heard from Terry Funk, ever. Do you got anything about Terry Funk?
Yo, yeah, he's definitely a legend, man. He's done it all in wrestling. It is crazy. And, I would always remember him every time I, like, look back and watch, like, old Kaneki Man episodes and stuff like that, because like him and a handful of other American guys were immortalized as like they're having fictional counterparts in it, like him. Dusty Rhodes was another one. There were some other ones that I can't remember at the top of my head, but I always remember Terry, like Terry Man. Always remember Terry Man. And that was the shit.
Alright. Not bad. We all respect Terry Funk. Next up, we have another older wrestler that I'm really not familiar with. George South.
Nope, don't know that guy.
I think only thing I know is that on Hype Spot, he does this, his talk with, what's that guy's name from PWX? Jake Manning. And,
The Man Scout?
Yeah, the Man Scout, Jake Manning, and he talks.
Oh, that older guy, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like your dad, you don't wrestle, something like that. I forgot what it was called, but that's about all I know. I know he's a really old wrestler, but of course with a name like George South, but he knows a lot, and he tries to spread out his knowledge for wrestlers, so, but that's about all I can really tell you. Where's Rob when you need him? You probably heard of him. Sam, you got any thoughts on George South?
George South. George from the South. Not probably. The mouth of the South.
Not the mouth of
Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart was not related to the Hart family because they were from Canada and Jimmy Hart was from the South. Jimmy's is the name of a stable in Dragon Gate. You have to walk through a gate to get to my house. I hope George South doesn't come to my house to kill me. Thank you.
I don't know jack shit about George South. I'm sorry. That's why I left these last two guys for last. Next up is, I believe it's Doomsday's client. Kick the Kill, Cedric Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
You should go first. What's your thoughts on Cedric? Boo!
Yo, he is the man. He's been killing it. Even though he's been like taking all these L's left and right
before
his whole heel turn, like he was putting out really great matches with a lot of different guys. And this heel turn definitely. I feel like this is definitely going to elevate him. It's the step he needs to take in order to be able to like move further in his career. You know, because he's. With the heel turn, his charisma is just, like, shown so much more. And, yeah, just teaming up with Veda and stuff like that, it helps. It doesn't hurt at all, you know? But he's been killing it.
Alright. Sam, your thoughts on Cedric Alexander?
I love Cedric Alexander. Back when I was getting into Ring of Honor, there were a lot of names I didn't really recognize, and everybody was mostly just guys in trunks, so it was hard to, you know, distinguish them and pick a favorite. But as soon as I saw Cedric wrestling, I knew he was something quite different. He's a great wrestler, very good at everything, which is, you know, one of the things you really need to look for if you're planning on putting a company on a guy's back. And I think Cedric has everything he needs to be the face of Ring of Honor when the current crop of guys move on to their next, you know, their next endeavors. Yeah, he's great, very strong, very young, so he's got a lot of future ahead of him, very athletic. His strikes, especially, I think that's what really won me over. Like, yeah. I liked that he did a bunch of moves that I've never seen before, but more than that, the way he throws elbows and punches and kicks.
Drop kick. Yeah.
Great stuff. He won a match by submission with a bunch of drop kicks once, which was really, that was a really special moment. Like, and that vine of him giving Candice LeRae the backbreaker so hard her head nearly touches the floor as she's being bent over his knee, is a personal highlight of the last year of professional wrestling for me.
That thing was so gnarly. Was oh good. My god. So I watched it like 10 times. Yeah. Two different angles. But yeah, it was Cedric Alexander. And I saw him with Ring of Honor for the first time, but then I heard he was better at other places. Like, it was, what was it? Pro Wrestling Evo? It doesn't exist anymore. I know the champion was like Vax Elevation at the time. Premier Wrestling Experience, PWX.
PWX, yeah.
Him and Caleb Conley was like a tag team, and they were basically the two best wrestlers of that company. And Cedric Alexander was chasing this title forever, and he finally became PWX Heavyweight Champion. But my god, this guy is so talented, and I believe if there's like, okay, if Jay Lethal can be like an African-American champion, Cedric Alexander can too. I see it. I know he can do it. He can talk. He can wrestle. He has a look. He's strong. He's fast, agile, like hell. He's a good tag wrestler. He's a great singles wrestler. And I believe he can hang with the best. I really do. And as far as like a top tier like African-American talent, he's gotta be one of them.
Yeah.
Now, as far as him being, like, in other companies, like, say, if you see him in, like, old Lucha Underground, I don't see him fitting in as much unless he's with, you know, Big Rick. But that's, I guess you could say, with every black wrestler that comes through there. Or CZW, it would be kind of weird. I don't know. Evolve, I can see him in there. He was at PWG before. I don't think they kept him, but I'm pretty sure they'll go back to him because I would too. He's a fantastic talent. He has a lot of moves with a Kick to Kill Part 2, Concussion on Delivery. He reminds me of Austin Aries a lot, just a little bit heavy. Because he has the same moveset, kind of, sort of. And yeah. He flips, you know. But, yeah, Cedric Alexander, one of the best African-Americans in the world. But then I gotta go to this guy, number 5. He is the current CZW World Champion, longest reigning tag team champion in the Combat Zone, Lions Cup winner, and Junior Heavyweight Champion, Best of the Best winner. I don't know if he won the Lions Cup, I could be lying, but I know he won Best of the Best before. This is Sabian, aka the Black Jeeves.
Oh, you haven't heard.
Wait, what?
He is no longer CZW World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, really? He lost?
He lost to Tremont over the weekend.
Yes, oh, good shit. Good job for Tremont. I didn't know if they was going to do it on that day.
Yeah, they did it.
Awesome. Good shit for him. Well, former CZW Heavyweight Champion, the Black Jeeves. Black Jeeves. Changed his name from Sabian to the Black Jeeves. He was a member of the Blackout.
let's see, what can I say about this guy? Very, very ignorant. But he does the job very, very well. I will say this past year, he has been doing an exceptional job with his promos. Granted, he does say the N-word in his promos, and I do not like when he says it. I don't think it's the right time for it right now, especially with the whole Hogan thing. But he doesn't care. That's how he carries himself. He said he's done kissing ass, or he's done being the nice guy.
Being politically correct and all that shit like that.
Yes. Yes. And he started springing up the whole, is it because I'm black thing? And he's being really controversial, you know. But in the ring, he's pretty solid. I think Cedric Alexander is better than him.
Yeah.
But far as, like, he's consistent, you know. I won't call him a main eventer just yet, but he tried. He tried with Matt Tremont. You know, he got him under his skin. I actually like the verbal promos that Matt Tremont and Black Jeans had. I thought they were really well done. Probably my favorite promos they've done in CZW this year. And then you got Nick Gage with the triangle with those three. And now it's more about Tremont now since Black Jeans lost the title. But it seemed, he won the world title at Cage of Death, right?
Yeah, it was Cage of Death.
Yeah, and I had a feeling they was going to give him that, but it was a short title reign, nothing memorable, but he tagged as a tag team with Ruckus. He's been in CZW forever. You know, he had a lot of accomplishments, and his career is a positive. And he was, on TV for, like, the whole month in, like, four different companies, something like that? Because I think he was on WWE for, like, 1 week, and then he was on TNA.
The next week.
He was on Ring of Honor television with Ruckus, I believe, and going by all kinds of different names, you know. But, Black Jeans is, I can see him in Future Underground working with Big Rick. I see that. But, Black Jeans, you guys got any thoughts on Sabian?
He's alright.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. I think he's okay. He's a good wrestler to have in your company. I didn't really enjoy his title win because it felt suspicious to me. Like, it didn't feel like the because he wasn't really involved in the storyline between Biff Busick and Drew Gulak and Sozio that was going on at the time around the world title. And then he suddenly got involved because his deal was I want the title now, and I think it's offensive that no black person's ever held that title, which is valid, but I don't feel like the company suddenly realized, Black Jesus, great, we got to get the title on him. I think they realized we need to have a black world champion right now.
At this point in time.
That's what it felt like. Like, they gave him the title because he was talking about, you know, I worked hard. How come I never got a title shot? How come he gets a title shot but I can't? Is it because I'm black? You know, something like that. And was like, all right, fine. Here's your title shot. You can have it for a couple of months. Will you be satisfied? And he was like, all right, fine. Because he did say he wanted people to come at him. You know, he has the target on his back. Come get me. This is the title that y'all want. Come and get me. No one really came to get him.
No.
Sozio. But really, he was the champion. Why? You know? Why? No one really came to get him. Tremont was probably the only option until Nick Gage came back. And it was all about him and not about G. So I'm pretty sure he took offense to that too.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I don't have a lot else to say. He won the title back in December, and I remember very little about his title reign. It's the same problem Neville had, actually. I can't really remember anything Neville did in between winning the NXT title from Bo Dallas and losing it to Sami Zayn. Like, there weren't any especially big. So it was a long reign, but it didn't feel like a really special reign. And that was going on beforehand. Like the world title's never really been the focus of CCW in recent years, because I remember Drew Gulak opened one of their big events against Chris Hero for the title, and
That was Cage of Death 2 years ago, I believe.
Yeah, because they were kind of distinguishing the world title scene from the deathmatch stuff. Like the world title stuff was the wrestling, so that's why you had, you know, Gulak and Busick involved in that.
And before that, they had Masada, and he had title forever. So it felt like it was on the right track with Masada and Drew Gulak, and then I believe Biff Busick. But then when Sozio touched it, and then Black G's touched it, and it was, and where the fuck is Busick?
Busick just came back, and now he's aligned himself with Nick Gage.
Okay, cool. All right, I need to watch that shit. Because I'm pretty behind, as you can tell. Yeah. But yeah, it's dudes, you got any thoughts on Black G's?
Just to echo, I think he's all right. His promo work is pretty good. Don't really see him too much as like a major player compared to other wrestlers and stuff like that. But he's still good. But that's all I gotta say.
Yeah, like, as far as, let's see, okay, I'm counting every world champion that we have available. So, we have Okada, you got Seth Rollins, you got Jay Lethal, you have Black G's at a time, you have Roderick Strong in PWG, you have Tim Thatcher Evolve in DGUSA, whatever. Even Lucha Underground, Mil Muertes.
Don't forget Ethan Carter III.
Ethan Carter III.
Oh, yeah.
Champion. You know, I think I've just named eight. I don't know math. I believe that's it.
Ricky Shane Page.
Ricky Shane Page is AIW. Ethan Page is AAW. You know, and if you follow all those rankings, next to the bottom will probably be like Ricky Shane Page and Black G. Yeah. For me. You know?
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, he's good. He's not a bad wrestler. It's just that what killed it for me when I first saw him, he had the CZW Tag Team title. And the CZW Tag Team Championship was the lamest of CZW in that time. Because the Tag Team division was so bad.
It was
horrible.
That was horrible. What? Like, I think that was like 2013?
2013, because the Catalyst, they won the tag titles, and they never had the belt. They never had it. You know who had it?
Blackout. Anyway.
Right. Blackout had the title, and then they beat them for their tag team title, and then they just ran off with it, and they just held it. They just held the titles, yo. They just had it just to keep it, and they did nothing with it. And they just said, yeah, we're the best tag team, but y'all are not even there. And then when y'all fight, y'all, like, get the spot. It was so stupid. It was so dumb. And I think that's what really turned me off with Black G's and Blackout in general. But, I mean, I like it from a book now. So, shout out to Black G's, you motherfucker. Anything else on the show that y'all want to cover? Because I believe I'm out of options.
Yeah, I've been watching loads of Progress, which is a British wrestling company, which is my favourite independent wrestling company at the minute, outside of PWG, which is my forever girl. But, Progress have been doing really good stuff recently. Jimmy Havoc just lost the title after holding it for a really long time to Will Ospreay, and Ospreay's a guy to watch out for. He's going to be in Bola this year. Good stuff. I for sure recommend that. They had this storyline going on for a long time. I think about a year, actually, and Ospreay had, like, repeated shots of title, and every time this guy Jimmy Havoc, who's the champion, who's this a phenomenal heel, best heel in England, probably. And every time he would do a little bit more to discourage him from coming back, like, the first time he threatened to light him on fire and he covered him in gasoline. And then the second time he actually got a box cutter and he started to torture him a little bit before some people ran the ring. Like, it's incredible stuff. It's stuff I've never seen in wrestling. I'm mixed with it. And then before this final match, he placed his mouth on the bottom rope and he got an axe and he threatened to cut his head off if he ever saw him again. Progress Wrestling, operating out of Camden in London. Great company, very creative. They do a lot of stuff that you don't really see anywhere else. I've compared them before to the British Lucha Underground, but it's a lot darker in tone and a bit more down to earth. Like, the champion Jimmy Havoc, he has these backstage vignettes where he kills and then cannibalizes people, which would be crap if it wasn't so well executed, but the production's great, and he's a great performer. The creativity that goes into the ideas is brilliant, but they wouldn't be able to pull it off if they didn't have performers of the quality of guys like Jimmy Havoc and Will Ospreay. So I'd say if you're not familiar with British independent wrestling and you want to get familiar with it, because some British guys are showing up in Battle of Los Angeles, Progress is a great place to start. Their YouTube channel is brilliant. It has a lot of information and videos about the recent history and the good wrestlers. And also Mike Scroll is another guy who wrestles there. I think he debuted his current villain gimmick there. And I wasn't a big fan of Marcy Scroll when he was doing the Parsi Marcy thing. I thought that was shit. But the villain, Marcy Scroll, is my favorite British wrestler right now, and I'm hoping he takes Bowler. I'm hoping against hope he at least makes it to the semifinals. And if you want to check some of his stuff out, if you haven't seen him since he adopted this recent gimmick, if your last exposure to him was his appearances on TNA a couple of years back, again, I cannot recommend Progress enough.
For those that, speaking of Bola, we are still going to be, booking Battle of Los Angeles within the coming week. Basically, the week of, Battle of Los Angeles, we'll be booking that, I believe. That's in 2 weeks. Another thing that I wanted to bring up in 2 weeks, if you're in the Maryland area, we're gonna be at, Jad Caddyshack. Weird name, but I guess it gets the job done. They are showing SummerSlam. And my favorite podcast group, the Roughhouse Podcast, they will be there also. You can come join us and them, mostly them, because they're more popular than we are. But, yes, we will be there, me, probably Doomsday, I'm sure, and maybe Rob, and maybe we might get Mofo Magic. The whole crew might be there. Sam Windsor is too far. I'm sorry. Can't go. But SummerSlam. Yeah, we're going to be there. Jad's Caddyshack. Somewhere down Glen Burnie, I guess. So, yeah, we're going to be down there. And the Roughhouse Podcast, they will be down there, too. Watching some moves. Like, anything else, Sam? Would you like to plug your shit?
Yes, I will plug my shit. My shit has changed, actually. I had to rework some of my accounts because of my enemies. It's not as serious as it sounds, but you can find me on Twitter at Sam Gladwin IRL, because I live in Ireland now. So really? IRL, it's quite a clever joke. See, when I say IRL, you think I mean, oh, Sam Gladwin in real life, the actual Sam Gladwin, but no, I call myself that because that's the Irish area code.
Ooh.
And then on Tumblr, I am Super Sam Gladwin for Wii U. Because I really like that Smash Brothers game. I like to pick Bowser and punch people and do the grab. And the fucking down B is great, and people don't realize that. But it's really fast on startup if you do it on the ground and he does a little jump upwards. That hits them. And then you hit them again coming down. The first one does 4 damage. The second one does 20 damage. I like to call it the Weed Whacker.
The Weed Whacker?
Yeah, the first hit does 4 damage, the second hit does 20, it's the 420, it's the Weed Whacker, because it whacks them. They get whacked. And the Mafia segment.
It's self-explanatory. They just get whacked. Okay. Doomsday, I believe, is at Doomsday 6. Aw, shit. Follow Doomsday on Tumblr. You'll know when you see him. Because this shit just conked out. But yes, Twitter, it is the podcast. I'm gonna try to tweet more. I try, but I haven't tried hard enough. But yes, and on iTunes, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes by searching NNZ. We are the only ones there, I promise. And that way you can get our shows updated to your phone, mostly on iPhones. I don't know about the other phones. But yes, we are on there, and that is it. We don't have Rob for the outro. We don't have Mofo Magic either. Sam, do you have any outro sounds to do?
I think I can manage, actually. We've had faces, heels, and everything else in between. So make sure you don't stop from tuning in to the rants and wrestling. I'm going to do the good night. I'm going to do it. Good night.
Oh, that was so adorable. Rob will love it. See y'all next week on Rant Wrestling. Just another victim.